Isaiah chapter 38, 39. And what this is going to be, Hezekiah is going to find out that he's going to die. He's going to plead with God to give him more life. God's going to give him 15 more years. He's going to write something to the Lord because the Lord extends mercy to him and gives him more time. And then a king from Babylon is going to congratulate him on being healed and come to see him. And when he comes to see him, Hezekiah is going to show him all the riches of Judah. And Isaiah is going to tell him, that was a bad move. That guy will be back to take everything he's seen, including your children. So those two chapters will deal primarily with those two subjects. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and get right into the study today. Mike, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen, amen. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Isaiah 38, 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, you know, that may seem a little proud to you at this point anyway, for Hezekiah to remind the Lord, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. But in his case, that's true. That's exactly the kind of life that Hezekiah led, and he was very careful about it. Keep your finger here, and let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and read. Just look at some highlights of his life. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This is Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. You see Hezekiah is there. In verse 1, while we're there, just notice that he was 25 years old when he began to reign. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years. So he was 54 years old when he died. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Sometimes the Lord will say, he did that which was right, but not with a perfect heart. But when he says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done, that's about the highest accolade that you can get from the Lord regarding how you've lived your life, at least these kings. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 2 Chronicles, all these are about Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, look at verse 20. Thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Now, between 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 2 and 2 Chronicles chapter 31, the things that he did with all his heart are listed in those chapters. We won't take the time to read each segment because you'd have to read all those chapters to see it. But the first thing he did when he took the throne, I mean the first month of the first year when he came to the throne, he began cleansing the house of the Lord because the kings before him had defiled it. And then after he got it all cleaned and he got new vessels in there for any vessels that were gone, set it all up. Then he made sure that the priests and the Levites were consecrated according to the law of Moses. And so they went in and did all their consecration offerings and everybody got back into a sanctified relationship with the Lord. Then they performed all of the sacrifices at the altar to the Lord and began that whole process that you saw when Moses and Aaron set it all up way back there. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, he had a Passover and invited everybody from Israel to come down. Many of those guys mocked him for doing it, but a lot of them did come down and they kept the Passover. And then after the Passover, there were some images and there were some groves and there were high places all around Jerusalem and all throughout Judah. And they went and they smashed every one of them. I mean, they just got rid of the whole thing. I mean, they really cleaned up. Then you read a part of Chronicles where David sets the priests and the Levites up in courses for their offerings and for porters and for singers. He sets all that back up again. And then he calls for a tithe, and the priests go out and the Levites go out and they collect all that tithe and bring it up. It's stacked up by heaps. He tells them, build chambers in the house of the Lord. They bring all that tithe in there. In addition, they bring offerings. He did all that. And that's a tremendous thing. And so the Lord, when he's coming here before the Lord in this prayer, he says, remember how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which was good in thy sight. He really did. He wasn't praying something that was not true in his life. So in verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. All right, now, you might remember that all of this episode here that we've been reading about happened in the 14th year of his reign. Go back to Isaiah 36. All this stuff we've been reading about Hezekiah started in the 14th year of his reign. So Isaiah chapter 36 and look at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 36 and look at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. So when all of this attack passes, Sennacherib's men, 185,000 soldiers, have been killed. Hezekiah suddenly gets deathly ill and is going to die. It's all in the same year. You'll remember when we were looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, he was how old when he began to reign? 25. He reigned how many years? 29 years. So in the 14th year of his reign, he would have been 39 years old. Add 15 years to his life, he dies when he's 54. So this all that takes place. Can you imagine that? Going through the stress of having to get your country ready for an attack by the Assyrians when they vastly outnumber your people. Seeing God do this and then find out you're lying on your deathbed and you're only 39 years old. You see, that's what's so remarkable. He said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. In addition, he says, I will deliver thee, verse 6, Isaiah 38, 6. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, the remarkable thing is when he says that, either Sennacherib hadn't been killed yet, or that part is over and he's worried about the next attack, because these kings of Assyria have been coming ever since a king named Tiglath-Pileser. He came, Pul came, Sennacherib came. There was another one that started with an S before that, that Shalmaneser came. So he's thinking, you know, he's dead, here comes the next one, you know. Die one, coming two more type thing. So, but he says, no, I'm going to deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city, which is a great relief to him, because now he's thinking, you know what, I'm going to live and I'm not going to have to contend with these guys anymore. They've been messing with us for a long time. So that was a good, really good answer to prayer. Now, in verses 7 and 8 of Isaiah 38, Isaiah continues, this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. In other words, not only is it going to happen, I'm going to give you a sign. And here's the sign. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. So, I mean, that's just kind of like you're looking at the sun, and all of a sudden, God just, you know, some of y'all have clocks, still have clocks. You can actually take the hand and go like that, right, and get that extra hour. Okay, so that God just grabbed that sun and just said, back here, 10 degrees. Now, that's you got to think about that. That is a remarkable thing. Now, I want you to see the exchange that actually took place between Isaiah and Hezekiah about this sign. Because Isaiah didn't just offer the sign. Hezekiah asked for it. Go back with me to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. This thing with Hezekiah is in 2 Kings. It's in 2 Chronicles. It's also in Isaiah. So it's obviously a very important thing. 2 Kings chapter 20. Look at verse 8. 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? You want to do a fallback thing or you want to do a spring forward thing? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Really? Okay. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. That's a remarkable exchange. Oh, I'm going to get a sign. What is it? It's 10 degrees down. That's nothing. Push it back 10 degrees. It's big no matter which way it goes. I kind of think that little exchange there and this prayer are going to give you an indication of something about Hezekiah that we're going to see here before we finish our study today. But continue on now with me to verse 9, Isaiah 38:9. Notice the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. David wrote Psalms. Solomon wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Hezekiah wrote something. And here you're reading it. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Now, before we keep reading what he wrote, he said some things there in verse 12. A pining sickness is a wasting. They actually have a medical term, I think, for that in some people's lives, but they just waste. It's a wasting. So this is a painfully wasting death. And then he says, my age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Do you know what a shepherd's tent is? Okay, so this guy is grazing sheep, right? When sheep eat in the wilderness, what do they leave? Not much, because they eat right down low. That's why sheep and cattle don't graze together, because the sheep eat down so much lower. So what does he have to do from time to time? He's got to move the flock. And when he does, he moves his tent. So he's saying, my life is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Pack it up, gone. It's swiftness is what he's illustrating here. He says, I have cut off like a weaver my life. So here's this weaver, and he's weaving. He gets to the end of the thing, just cuts that thread off the shuttle, and that's it. Over. Quickly. And there are a lot of illustrations about this in the Bible. In Job chapter 7, he gives us three. It would be worth going over there. Go to Job chapter 7. And look at these three. Job chapter 7. While you're going there, can you think of one off the top of your head that's found in James chapter 4? What is your life? It is even a vapor. Just gone. Okay, Job chapter 7. Job is talking about dying because of the disease that's come on him. And look what he says in verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Anybody ever seen a weaver use a shuttle? It's fast, isn't it? They're just moving that thing back and forth to get the warp and the woof to weave. Verse 7, oh, remember that my life is wind. That's fast. It's here and it's gone. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he goeth down to the grave, shall come up no more. Same thing, just like a cloud. You look up and there they are, and then you look up and they're gone. So all of these illustrations are here today, gone tomorrow. We got a letter from Mark Coffey, who is our missionary in South Africa, and they had to bury a woman they'd been dealing with that was 38 years old. And he said, while we're there in the graveyard, there are three more funerals going on at exactly the same time and three more graves being dug. And he said, many people die in their 20s and 30s here because of disease and because of AIDS. I think South Africa is the number one country still in death, and a lot of it's because of AIDS, and the other part is murder. When the politicians got in there to solve the problems by changing the racial tension, they didn't solve the racial tension. I'm not saying that it wasn't valuable of them to try. It's just that when you've got racial tension, simply changing the name of it from apartheid to something else doesn't mean that people are going to quit killing each other. And so there's a lot of death there, and it's a terrible situation. All right, continue on back now in Isaiah chapter 38. Just quick. Many of us have had loved ones who you saw them that morning and you didn't see them that night. Very quickly, when my father passed away, my mother and my father had gone to Rockport, spent the night with friends, and had come back. I think it's really tender. They were holding hands and listening to an audio cassette, listening to a book on cassette. And when they got home, my father said, I'm going to go to the YMCA and do my little treadmill workout. Went and did his workout, drove home, and had a heart attack on the way home, died. Just, boom, just like that, gone. It's an amazing thing how quickly it can go, and it's wise for us to be reminded of that. All right, then Isaiah 38, verse 13, I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. Oh, that's a hard thing when a man gets that sick and he looks at God who's taking care of him and the God he served, but he's so sick that he's feeling it as if God is breaking his bones like a lion crushing him. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. He's crying out to God to do something about it. So it tells you the tears that were going on in his prayer. Verse 15, what shall I say? He hath spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Well, what did he speak to him? Back again in verse 5, he said, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. He answered my prayer. He spoke to me. And he said, himself hath done it, which is, now he's given him the sign. He's added the 15 years. So in verse 16, he says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. What is that? All these things are what God said and what God has done. By what you say and what you've done, men live, and in all these things, that is what you've said and what you've done, is the life of my spirit. That's true. That's why the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When God said to him, I have added 15 years, it was done. And that was the life of his spirit. Does that give you a warm fuzzy? Okay, let's keep going. I'm just... Verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. That's when he was so sick. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. That's what happens to you when you end up in the grave. Remember that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that talks about the rapture? And it says, the mortal shall not inherit immortality, and the corruptible shall not inherit incorruption. Now the pit of corruption is, that's the end of it. When you die, they put you in the ground 6 feet under. That's the pits. That's a pit of corruption. It's where you eventually end up. Where you started as dust, you end as dust. Verse 17, he goes on to say, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." What a tremendous thing. You know, Hezekiah here admits, you know what? I may have done what I did in truth, and I may have done it with a perfect heart. And I may have done it with, and it was good in your sight, but I was a sinner. And you've cast all my sins behind your back. Now, in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, you know, our sins are where? We say, my sins are where? Under the blood. Under the blood. All right, well, in the Old Testament, there are a number of pictures about where the sins go. He says here that you've cast them behind your back. Look in Micah chapter 7. Look in Micah chapter 7. You say, ooh, help me. Well, you got the big prophets, Ezekiel, then Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. If you've gotten to Zephaniah and those guys, Habakkuk and those guys, you've gone a little too far. Micah. Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 19. Micah chapter 7, look at verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Those are good pictures. Behind your back, in the depths of the sea. In Psalm 103, verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath thou removed our iniquities from us. That's a long... How far is east from west? Huh? It's infinite. Because as long as you're going east, you're getting further from west. Look in Isaiah 43. We hadn't got there yet. Isaiah 43, look at verse 25. Look what the Lord said. Isaiah 43, 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. How you feel about that? Pretty good, huh? One more time, Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. You might remember this one from the song. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now that's some good stuff right there. The Lord washes them white as snow, blots them out, won't remember them, as far as the east is from the west, in the depths of the sea, cast behind his back. So what do you keep bringing them up for? Not a good thing. People make themselves sick over that stuff, what happened in the past. He's forgotten. You need to forget. Amen. All right. Back to Isaiah, our text, 38. Isaiah 38. Look at verse 18. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And that's a true statement. It's not true. It's a true statement of a man speaking about things in earth. Because we know where Hezekiah's soul goes when he dies. Where does it go? It goes to Abraham's bosom. We see that in Luke chapter 16. And the guys are still alive. But as far as his opportunity to praise the Lord, got to do that on this side of the grave. Verse 19. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. That is a repeated theme throughout the Bible. Whose responsibility is it to let your children know the truth? It's the father's responsibility. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the Bible says. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, parents are supposed to take those kids and they're supposed to take those words of God and talk about them when they sit down, when they rise up, when they sleep, when they walk along the way. Timothy's mother was the one that schooled him in the faith and also his grandmother. It's a family thing. It's a pleasure for us as a church to be able to help parents in Sunday schools and Master Club and things like that with this process. But the church is not the end. It's this, the help. The parents are the ones that do it. Verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now wait a second. Here, Isaiah says, I've got some songs. Well, we know he wrote this because the Bible says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, which he had been, when he had been sick and was recovered of sickness, he wrote all this that you just read. We also know when we read in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 25 says, these are the Psalms of Solomon that Hezekiah's men copied out. So he was into writing something. He said, now, therefore, we will sing my songs. I wonder if his songs are recorded in the Bible. Now, this is what I'm going to show you is an original with me. I heard another preacher mention it, but it's interesting. Turn with me to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. And we're going to look at the... Some of you have something called a superscript. That's not a new technological device. You know, you got your iPhone, your smartphone, and your superscript. No, it's not that. A superscript is something that's written between the psalm number and the actual psalm. How many of y'all have a little superscript there that says a song of degrees? Okay. Right there it says a song of degrees. Psalm 121, a song of degrees. Psalm 122, a song of degrees of David. Psalm 123, a song of degrees. Psalm 124, a song of degrees of David. That's two. Psalm 125, a song of degrees. Psalm 126, a song of degrees. Psalm 127, a song of degrees of Solomon. That's three. Psalm 128, a song of degrees. Psalm 129, a song of degrees. Psalm 130, a song of degrees. Psalm 131, a song of degrees of David. That's four. Psalm 132, a song of degrees. Psalm 133, a song of degrees of David. That's five. Psalm 134, a song of degrees. There are 15 psalms in your Bible and there are 150 psalms in your Bible. 15 of those are songs of degrees, and 5 of those songs of degrees were written by David or Solomon, leaving 10 songs of degrees. How many degrees did the sun go back in the sundial of Ahaz? 10. Those might be Hezekiah's songs. If you read them, they're very fitting for what you know about Hezekiah's life. Isaiah 38, verse 21, for Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. What do they call that? Poultice, and they call that holistic medicine. Nothing new under the sun. Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that I shall go up unto the house of the Lord? So there now he's showing you that he's the one that first asked it and then come up with this. All right, and then in Isaiah chapter 39, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, he's also called Baradach-Baladan, same guy, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of whose precious things? His. The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, all the house of whose armor? His. And all that was found in whose treasures? There was nothing in whose house? Nor in all whose dominion? That Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? From whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. And he said, then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in whose house? Mine house. Have they seen? There is nothing among whose treasures? My treasures, that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the day is come that all that is in thine house, and all that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Now he just heard word that God was going to defend that city from the Assyrians. And he said, now he's getting the word, the Babylonians are going to come instead. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. You know, our children in this country are going to inherit the debt created in this generation. Yeah. But as long as it's good for us, oh, it's okay. At least there's peace and truth in my days. Same attitude. Now, there's some things we need to say about this passage. I wanted to read through it. First of all, when he says in verse 6, behold, the day has come, that's 114 years later. 114 years later, they come. Hezekiah dies. He's followed by a son named Manasseh. And come on down like that, you get a king named Josiah. He's a fabulous king. Then you get some other kings involved in that. But after all those kings, bang, here they come. And he says, they're going to make you eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. You know anybody by name that was made a eunuch in the palace of the king of Babylon? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you go back and you read Daniel chapter 1, then you're going to find out when those men were taken into the college, they were each in the palace of the king, and they were all eunuchs. They were in the house of the eunuchs. Okay? And a eunuch is a dedicated servant to the king. I mean, for an understandable term for all of y'all who live in South Texas, if you don't know what a eunuch is, that's a steer. Okay? Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Let's fill in a few blanks here of what you just read in Isaiah 39. Because it puts it more in light. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Let's read look here at verse 24. It puts the thing in better perspective. Or not better perspective, it gives you more light. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24, in those days Hezekiah was sick to death. You've said it before, but he really was. And prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But, watch it, Hezekiah rendered not again, according to the benefit done unto him. Why? For his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notice this lifting up of the heart was connected with pride, verse 26, notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled himself, for the pride of his heart. You see that little indication when he asked for the sign, he says, well, you want to make it go down 10 degrees or come back up 10 degrees? All that Isaiah had to say was, I'm going to make the sun move 10 degrees. But when he gave him that choice, and Hezekiah answers and says, that's a light thing if it goes down 10 degrees. No, it's not. It's just as big as if you bring it back 10 degrees, but it sounds more important. And there's a little indication that down in his heart when he prayed, and he says, you know I've walked before you with a perfect heart and in truth and done all those things that were good in thy sight. There's an element of pride in that prayer. And so what happens is that when God blesses him with all those spices and ointments, well, look in verse 27. Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. He made himself treasures for silver and for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increases of corn and wine and oil, stalls for all manner of beasts and cots for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. Where did he get all of that stuff? For God had given him substance very much. And he forgot that. And when you read it, I emphasized those words. I showed him everything that was in mine house. I showed him all my treasures. He got it all from God. And he forgot that. And as he saw all those blessings in his life, his heart was lifted up. And the Bible says he rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He cut it off. All that good stuff he had done, he quit doing. And it's remarkable, considering what God had done for him and how he started, that at some point he would just stop. But that's not an unusual thing with the kings. And unfortunately, it's not an unusual thing even with God's people. You're here in 2 Chronicles, so it won't be far for you. Just to keep your finger where you are, because we've got a little bit more to look at here. But go back to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, there is a king that comes to the throne in verse 1 named Uzziah. He's also called Azariah. Okay, but his name is Uzziah. He reigns 52 years, and look at the bottom of verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord God, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Do you get the connection? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Watch what happens in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. That's not an uncommon thing that Isaiah went through, but it's all the more reason we need to be aware. Go back to 2 Chronicles 32. Fortunately for Hezekiah, once he recognized that pride that was in his heart, that lifted heart, notice what verse 26, 2 Chronicles 32, 26 says, notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled himself. For the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. That's a good thing. Now, you know, he could have been an Assyrian attack, but the Lord said, we're not going to do that, you see, because he humbled himself. If he hadn't humbled himself, there would have been another king behind Sennacherib coming in there. But he humbled himself, and the Lord let it go. Now, no, one more thing about this passage here, and then we'll wrap it up. Look at verse 31. Verse 30, then this same Hezekiah stopped the upper water courses of Gihon, brought it straight down to the west of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. God's the one that did that for him. Now look at verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon. Okay, you read that when Merodach-Baladan came? Okay, you read that. He abated in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. Watch it. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Wow. You see, there was a time when God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a boy. And he and Sarah worked out a scheme to get Ishmael, and God said, no, I didn't mean that. I'm going to give you a boy. It's going to come from you, and it's going to come from Sarah. And Isaac was born. And when Isaac was a teenager, God said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him for a burnt sacrifice. That's a real test. But Abraham knew that God had promised nations to come forth from that seed. So he said, I know how it's going to work out. When I get up there, God's going to have a substitute. That's what Jesus did for us. But if he doesn't have a substitute, God will raise him from the dead. That's what Jesus did for us. That was a real hard test because Isaac was old enough and teenage years, rebellious enough potentially, to really have put up a fight. That was a great, great sign of belief in God. God just pulled back a little bit after prospering Hezekiah, sent in the ambassador and said, let's see what happens. Let's just, don't touch it. Just see what happens. And he failed the test. When as he could have said to them, let me show you what God did. First of all, he healed that boil and gave me 15 more years. And God brought these things to us. This is a testimony to a country that worships the true God. So go back to your country, get rid of your gods, humble yourselves, and God will bless you too. And he didn't do that. And so, 114 years later, the same guys that came, I mean same people, came. They absolutely destroyed Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took everybody captive. 70 years they were gone before they came back. It's an amazing story. So Hezekiah was a great king, but it didn't end so well. All I say to us is that we've got to be mindful of these things in our own lives. God's dealt very well with us here. Let's always keep in mind, it's still God. Amen. Father, we're thankful today to be able to study these things from the Scripture. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we will obtain and retain these words for Jesus' sake. Amen.